Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Doing well? Good. All right. Aren't you glad we have a dry place to be able to meet for worship today? I know that you do. If you are guests with us, thank you for joining with us today. Hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer. That would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you also received a bulletin. And hopefully all the rest of you got a bulletin. So let's open it up. Let's kind of take a look at what's going on right after our morning worship service. We have Sunday school. And remember, we have Sunday school from children all the way up through adults. And if you haven't been joining us in our adult class for Sunday school, I hope that you'll make a point to be able to do that today. We are studying some exciting stuff. We're just taking our time, working our way through some of the things that the Bible tells us that we need to know. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., ladies, Bible study here at the church, and this is open for all the ladies who are available to be able to be a part of that. Men's Bible study is on Tuesday at 7 p.m. here at the church. Wednesday is Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1:30 p.m. And if you have the time to be able to come and join us for that, that would be great. Thursday night is Awana, and it is fashion disaster. I can only imagine what these kids are going to come looking like. But you know what? It'll be fun. So that'll be great. Then Saturday, men's breakfast here at the church. And I already know that William's ready. I haven't checked with Brian yet. He gives me the thumbs up. We're ready. So that'll be great. So 8 a.m. here at the church, men, for men's breakfast. Remember, we're going to, in just a couple weeks, you know, March is right around the corner. Can you believe that? Amazing. So in just a couple weeks, we're going to be having our church family dinner, and it's our annual baked potato bar. Potatoes are going to be provided, but we need your help in bringing other stuff for the rest of the dinner. So there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. So hopefully you'll be able to stop by there. There's a whole lot of empty spaces that need some names written on those lines. So I'm sure that you can handle that. Also, we're updating our pictorial church directory. And so if you would like a different picture than what was in the other pictorial directory, or you're fairly new to Lake Hazel Bible Church, we want to make sure that we get your picture. And so Christine will be ready to be able to get your picture right after our worship service this morning, right over here at the storeroom door, the barn door. All right. So just remember also our prayer needs. And so we list them in there so that you can spend time taking those folks and their prayer requests before the Lord. Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
How many are glad you're not here today? Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? Let's spend our time worshiping and praising God. That's what we're here for, right? It's all about Him, not about
jokes.
Us.
Hey, would y'all stand up on your feet this morning? Come on. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start with glory to God forever.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.
God's worth getting excited about, amen?
Amen.
He is more than enough today.
You're my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, you are everything. Still more awesome than I know, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God, you are so, so good. It is so wonderful to sing about how great you are. Glory to God forever. Lord, we're here because of you. We're here because of your magnificence. We're here because of your grace. We're here because of your love for us. We're here to worship you and adore you. So as we sing these songs today, I want to encourage everyone today, as we sing these songs, take time to reflect. To put out the things of the world, the things that you're thinking about for lunch today. Put that stuff out of your mind right now. Let's spend these next few minutes focusing on adoring our Savior.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
I want you to remember just how much Jesus loves you. I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. Yes, he is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, this is our hope. And the cross it has spoken. Death is no more.
Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our hope. Hallelujah. Oh, we are not alone. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Yes, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. Yes, God really loves us. God really loves us. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is.
Lord, thank You for salvation. Thank You for dying on the cross for us. I thank You for rising again and giving us a life to live. Lord, thank You. You're not just our Savior, but our friend. Thank You for walking with us, Lord. Not leaving us alone. You are good. 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 Amen. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today.
Yes.
We're going to take this morning's offering, and for those of you who are visiting with us today, as we pass a plate, do not put money in that plate except to worship your good, good Father. Don't give because you think the church needs money. Don't think because there's a plate passing in front of you that God somehow needs your money. He does not. He wants your heart, because this is already our Father's world.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. God reigns, let the earth be glad.
The Lord is King.
The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad.
Aren't you glad that God reigns? Aren't you glad the government doesn't? Aren't you glad the media doesn't? The entertainment industry doesn't? You want me to keep going? Or you get the idea, right? God's in charge. Praise God for that. Amen. I thank him every day that he's in charge and I'm not. I know you thank him every day that he's in charge and I'm not. Right? All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Boy, these guys are so faithful. Isn't that just great? Isn't that good to be able to see? All right, let's pray. Father, you reign. Father, you reign in the universe supreme. Father, you reign in the affairs of men. Father, you reign here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. But Father, the real question is, do you reign in us? Do you have all of us? Do you have all of our hearts? Do you have every aspect of our life? Or Father, are we holding something back? Father, sometimes we sing that hymn, I surrender all. But we really don't surrender everything. We keep some of those things that we want to hang on to, some of those things that we think bring us pleasure and satisfaction and enjoyment. And when we do that, you're not really reigning. So, Father, I pray this morning that your word, as it's opened up to us, will speak to us, will touch not only our minds and our ears, but will touch our hearts. And Father, bring us to the place of giving you everything we are and everything we have. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great day. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 4. Have you ever lost your car in a crowded parking lot, forgetting where you parked it? Oh, some of you are chuckling. So that means that you've already probably had that experience. I've had that experience at least twice in my life. First, the last time was just a couple years ago. We went to Extra Mile Arena for Jesse Schofield's graduation ceremony. And we came out. I could not find my car. I could not remember where it was. And it wasn't until Jared's stepmom bailed us out and said, describe for me your car. And so she went looking and she found it. The other time was at Disneyland many, many years ago, and my kids will never forget this. My wife never forgets this. So we were at Disneyland. We took a family trip, and we got a rental car. And so we picked up the rental car at the hotel, at the airport. We drove to the hotel. They didn't have our rooms ready, so they said, just leave your suitcases here, and we'll take them up to your room. Here's your tickets. Go and enjoy the park. And then when you come back, everything will be put in your room, and it'll all be taken care of. So it's like, great, let's go. So we jump in a rental car, and we head to Disneyland, and we park. Now, remember, this was the day before cell phones. So when we pulled into the parking lot and they told us where to park, you know, they showed us the space they wanted. You couldn't take a picture of the car. You couldn't take a picture of the license plate like I do now when I'm in a rental car and I'm parking in a parking lot. You couldn't take a picture of the location, the locator on the signs of what parking lot you were in. And so we went and we enjoyed the day, never gave the car another thought. Came out when it was ready to, we were done and we were ready to go back to the hotel, and every other car in the parking lot looked exactly like I remembered the car to look like. And we walked and we walked and we walked, and I tried the key and nothing. And so it was like, this is not fun. This is not good. And so eventually, somehow, some way, we prayed, and miraculously God took us to the car. And so, my family will never, ever forget that experience. But my experience at Disneyland was nothing compared to a man in Frankfurt, Germany, who just in 2017 found his car after forgetting where he parked it 20 years before that. The man was now 76 years old, reported the car missing in 1997 to the police when he couldn't find it after leaving it in a parking lot outside of an industrial building. After hearing nothing, the man assumed the car was lost permanently. But a construction crew getting ready to demolish the building and the parking lot reported this abandoned vehicle to the police. And after checking through old records, the police located the 2-decade-old report. When the man and his daughter went to recover the car, it wouldn't start. Go figure, right? Now, forgetting where you parked your car is bad enough, but there are much worse things people can forget that negatively affect their lives. So we're going to look at Joshua chapter 4 this morning to help us remember some very important things. Hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 4, and so I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. When all the nation of Israel, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Since God performed a miracle, the Israelites crossed the Jordan River during flood stage to enter the promised land on dry ground. Now God wants them to take 12 boulders from that dry riverbed and set them up in the place where they will spend their first night back in their homeland. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that great? Now, these were not little stones that they could carry in their pockets. Okay, these were big stones that it took all that they had to be able to carry them. Let's pick it up in verse 4, and let's read down through verse 7. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder. So if they had to carry this stone on their shoulder, it wasn't big enough to fit in the pocket of their robe. Okay? All right? It wasn't big enough to just fit in their hand. Pick it up and put it on your shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial for how long? Forever. Now, God wanted the Israelites to never forget what he had done for them that day. They had been slaves and nomads, 400 years in Egypt in slavery, 40 years wandering in the desert. And as they move into the land of Canaan, they are going to be warriors and soldiers. Now, they need to get ready to face the hardships of battle as they begin to regain the promised land. And if they are going to move forward in victory, They must be able to look back and remember the miracle God did for them that day. Here's the lesson. When you want to move forward spiritually, remember. When you want to move forward spiritually, remember. When you want to move forward spiritually, remember. What are we to remember? Let's start with the first one. Remember the miracles of God. Remember the wonderful thing God did when you crossed from the old life to the new life, when you came to believe in Jesus as Savior. Remember the power of the cross of Jesus in your life. In 2016, the people of London watched as a giant wooden replica of their city ignited and burned dramatically to the ground. A creative arts company, along with London city officials, planned the inferno in honor of the 350th anniversary of the Great Fire of London. The original fire began on September 2nd, 1666, in the early morning at a bakery on Pudding Lane. A bakery on Pudding Lane. I just thought that was so interesting. The fire quickly spread to the surrounding structures, then to the rest of the city, and lasted 4 entire days. The city of London celebrated the event with a 4-day festival they called London's Burning. There were 4 days of art exhibits, a 6-hour underwater performance, and other activities culminating with the amazing burning of a 131-yard-long sculpture of 17th-century London along the Thames River. Why celebrate such a catastrophic event? As tragic as the Great Fire of London may have been, historians viewed it as a real turning point, leading to a time of regrowth and resurgence for London. Again, if you want to move forward spiritually, remember. If you want to move forward spiritually, look back every day and remember. Remember God's miracle, the miracle of the cross. And we're going to do that here at the end of our worship service this morning. We're going to remember the miracle of the cross as we celebrate together communion. Here's the second thing we need to remember. We need to remember to rely on the help given by God. Trust God to help you. Trust God to help you in His way and His time. He's going to help you, but He's going to help you in His way, not yours. He's going to help you in His time, not yours. But you can rely on Him. That's what Joshua did. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Let's read down through verse 10. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day, the day of this writing. You can't go to the Jordan River and see them today. But when it says today, it means to the day of this writing. For the priests bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people passed over in haste. The people of Israel obeyed Joshua, just as Joshua obeyed God. Pick it up in verse 11, down through verse 14. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. Now you get the picture here? For 40 years, Joshua faithfully served Moses. For 40 years, Joshua remained in the background. Now, Moses is dead. God promotes Joshua before the Israelites because Joshua continues to faithfully obey God. Joshua doesn't promote himself. He just does what God tells him to do, and he lets God promote him at the proper time. And this is what God promised Joshua in chapter 3 and verse 7, where God said, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." All Joshua had to do was continually, faithfully serving God and trust him to keep his promise. And it's no different today for you and I. That's what we must do if we want to move forward spiritually. We must focus on being faithful and trust God to promote you. Because as we said before we even began our worship service this morning, it's not about us. It's about him. And if God wants you to be promoted among other believers, he'll do the promoting. But in all of my years of pastoral ministry, I've seen many, many people come into the church and they want to be promoted. They bring self-promotion along with their coming into a church. It's not our job. It's not our job to promote ourselves. It's God's job to promote us in his time, in his way, because of his will. We need to focus on being faithful and trust God to promote us. We need to focus on our character and trust God with our reputation. Focus on your character and trust God with your reputation. You know, Jesus said to a bunch of Jewish religious leaders that if they want to be popular, if they want to be well known, if they want people to be able to respect them and to be able to follow them, and that's what their lives are all about, they've already got their reward. And how sad would that be to leave this earth and find out that the only reward that Jesus has for you, you left here on earth. Because you were all about, what? Promoting yourself. You were all about making yourself look good. Focus on your character and trust God with your reputation. Focus on your integrity and trust God to increase your influence. And when you trust him, he will do it in his time and in his will. Do you want to fulfill God's purpose and plans? Just faithfully serve him. Here's the third thing. Respect the power of God. Stand in awe of his ability to overcome any obstacle for you. Remember, that was what we learned in Joshua chapter 3, that God will overcome the obstacles. He overcame for the nation of Israel. He overcame what? The waters of the Jordan River. When? At flood stage. He held them back. And he held them back long ways away from where he wanted them to be able to cross over. You know what I was thinking this week as I was thinking about that? When we trust God, no matter what it is we're going through, when we trust God with the pain in our life, when we trust God with the circumstances in our life that might not be pleasant, when we trust God with the confusing things of our life, when we trust him, when it's his time, when it's his way, he'll hold back the rivers of that pain. He'll hold back the rivers of those circumstances. He'll hold back the rivers of what it is that we don't understand. He'll hold back the rivers so that what he and us together can pass through that. But we have to trust him. We have to trust his timing. We have to trust his purpose and his plan in order for that to happen. That's what God wanted Israel to do as they begin to once again settle the promised land. Look at verse 15. We're going to read down through verse 18. "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priests, 'Come up out of the Jordan.' And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the, of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up on dry ground. The waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks, just as before. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine watching this? The nation of Israel, almost 2 million people strong, crosses over the Jordan River on dry ground. Soon as the priests step up onto that dry ground, God opens up the floodgates, and here comes the Jordan River rushing down the riverbed. Can you imagine? Can you feel the coolness of the water as it rushed by all of these Israelites standing on the other side? Can you feel the wind that was generated as the water rushed by them? Can you sense how grateful they were to be able to what? See God do this in their midst, to see and to witness the power of God. And then as you're standing there and you turn around and you see this riverbed chock full of water, even up over the brim of the banks, and realize there's no turning back. There's no turning back. We're not going back over. If they were to turn around and say, oh, God, you know what? We're not ready to do this. Can you open the river again? He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. There's no retreat. When we serve God, when we faithfully say we're going to do something for God and we step out to be able to do it, there's no retreat. We need to keep moving forward. We need to keep trusting Him because He's brought us this far and He's going to bring us the rest of the way. God closed off their way of retreat, and with the raging waters running behind them, the only way they could go is forward. You know, sometimes we know that God is wanting us to move forward and we don't want to move. Or we take one step and then we want to turn back. And then we wonder why we can't turn back. Why that doesn't work out. It's because God, what? Doesn't give us a place of retreat. There's no turning back. The only way He wants you to go is forward. That's what happens when you decide to follow Jesus after your salvation through what Jesus has done for you on the cross. He does not want you to go back to the old way of life. You may look back to see what God has done, but you cannot go back to the things the way they were. That's what God does for the Israelites as now they have crossed the Jordan River. We're going to start back in verse 19, read down through the end of the chapter. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when He dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You see, God wants us to respect. That's what that word fear here in the Hebrew means. It means respect. It means reverence. God wants Israel to respect His might. And that's what God wants you and I to do as well. He wants us to reverence Him and to stand in awe of His power. Aren't you glad that on Sunday mornings when we gather together, the worship team leads us to a place of being able to respect and to reverence all that God has done for us and all that God continues to do for us? So here's the other side of that coin. Do not limit God's power because you've already decided what God cannot do. Do not limit God's power because you've already decided what God cannot do. because God's power is limitless. And there's nothing he cannot do for you. If he held the waters of the Red Sea apart, and he held the waters of the River Jordan apart, whatever it is that's troubling you, he can hold those apart for you. Don't limit God's power because you've already decided what he cannot do. God's power is limited, is limitless, and there's nothing he cannot do for you. Don't forget, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Do you remember when the angel came and told Mary what Mary's plan and purpose by God was to be in bringing the Messiah into the world? Remember? What did the angel say to Mary? When Mary said, "How can this be?" The angel said, "Is anything too hard for God? Nothing is impossible with God." Say it in your heart. Nothing is impossible for God. Say it in your mind. Nothing is impossible for God. Say it in your praise. Nothing is impossible for God. Go ahead, say it. Nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible by God. In class, does all mean all? Thank you. Hymn writer Eugene Clark, blind and bedridden with crippling arthritis, wrote these words in 1964. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word. For everything, oh everything, yes, everything is possible with God. So we're going to change gears and we're going to get ready to get our hearts and our minds ready to participate together in the celebration of communion. So, instead of memorial stones, God gave us the bread and the cup to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And leaders, aren't you glad that you don't have to carry the bread and the cup on your shoulders in order to distribute them to those that are here this morning? But he gave us the memorial of communion to remember what he did on the cross for us. So let's think about, for just a couple seconds, what it is on that cross that Jesus did for us. Jesus paid the penalty for all of our sins. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Last week in adult Sunday school class, we went over this verse. And Robert did a great job explaining what this verse means to us. Not only did he pay the penalty for all of our sins, he overcame the power that sin had over us. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Whose grace? God's grace, through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Aren't you glad for that? Here's another thing. He is preparing a place for us in heaven where we will be free forever from the presence of sin. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. In heaven, there is no sin. There's no presence of sin. There's no evil. There's no unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that? And I'm looking forward to the day to when I enter into that promised land called heaven. I call it the promised land because Jesus promised it. Remember what he said? It's recorded in John chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And when it is finished, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. I'm looking forward to that day. Because sin will no longer be something that'll be present, something we will have to deal with. So as believers, we celebrate the cross. When we participate together with communion, we remember a turning point in human history. On his cross, Jesus won the victory over sin and evil, which was culminated with his resurrection. So this morning, as we celebrate communion together, let us remember God's miracle, the miracle of the cross. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. And while they're coming, let me just remind you that you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church to celebrate communion with us this morning. You just have to know that you believe in Jesus as Savior.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song.
Let's remember Jesus.
O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oceans fail, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quail, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for our final song? I'm so glad that you talked about Jesus preparing a place for us, because we're going to sing about that.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever ye shall reign. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.